Okay. Okay, could you tell me your name and when you were born, who you are, where we are right now?
I'm Susan Feller, and I was born November 4th, 1954, in the northwestern corner of New Jersey. We are now in Hampshire County, again in the Appalachian Mountains, so I feel like I've come home from that time period of my youth. The building that we're in, my husband and I built, and it's a log home, so it really looks like it's 100-year-old building, although we built it in 2006. Handcrafted.
So why don't you tell me a little bit about your background, where you grew up, and your initial entry into art?
I was lucky enough to grow up in a rural community on 120 acres of land that my grandparents had accumulated. My grandfather's an electrician. My grandmother worked with him, so I saw independent and men and women working together. My mom was always into handcrafts, and so a Christmas gift was a new type of craft, shell art, string art, such. She sewed all of our clothes and taught me how to sew. I do remember that my home ec teacher in ninth grade gave me a B plus, not an A, because I did not take the little facing out of my and fix the little tuck. And she said to me, "Susan, you can do it better." So I was a Girl Scout from Brownies all the way to Senior Girl Scout. One reason being my mother was a Girl Scout leader. And I enjoyed that type of skill level. I do feel that I'm very happy to say that I'm a Girl Scout in heritage and such. We learned a lot of handcrafts and make do, self-sufficiency. That 120 acres of forest and such was my brother and my backyard, and lots of fun stories to explore.
And maybe talk about then later how you got, the gap, maybe talk about the gallery and some of the your first adulthood art experiences and how you came here.
So, being in rural New Jersey and the first to go to college, I decided to go to Boston instead of New York because New York was too close and too intimidating. But Boston was a wonderful, interesting city. My initial interest was interior design, so I went up for a 2-year program. My parents sent me a $5 check for spending the first week, and I got a job after that work study. They were paying for my college and my board. So that was really good because I learned a lot about retailing. I got a job at Shreve Crump and Lowe, and it's great to have a work study program that's applied to your college. After that, I stayed in Boston. I worked actually in the registrar's office of the Newbury Junior College where I went to school and continued my own studies at University of Massachusetts in Boston with a double major in art and history. So my background is in business, and I continued. I have lots of classes that I took at Newbury in accounting and economics and management and such, but art and history were my majors and probably how I transitioned. Living in Boston, the history, I was there in 1976. It was a great time to be a history major in the city. And then I decided I finished my degree, and for a lot of reasons, I called my parents up and convinced my mother that I would cook and clean if I could move home at the age of 29. I was retiring. She said I couldn't retire, but my grandfather had taught me how to save money, so I was okay there. And they did accept the transition. So I took a couple jobs that worked with that type of skills and met my husband to be, And we moved in and opened a gallery in Califon, New Jersey, the Church Door Gallery. And the service that we did was picture framing. He learned gold leaf gilding and loved working with handwork. And it was really exciting to work with a regional artist and to show their work. At which point, someone brought in a hooked rug, and I learned how to hook in 1994. And since we had bought our property here in West Virginia, and we knew romantically we were building a log house, it needed hooked rugs on the floor. So my art major, the technique that I used was photography. Uh-huh. I didn't gravitate to oil or watercolors or any other fine technique. Mm-hmm. Photography, definitely. The skills that I learned in color selections during the picture framing business helped me. Mm-hmm. And picture framing, those experiences helped me transition into rug hooking. Mm-hmm. And rug hooking for me is my art. I paint with the fibers. I combined all the other fiber skills that I had been learning along the way. Mm-hmm. And as a studio artist, my work is not only for the floor. My work pretty much these days is three-dimensional. It's artwork for the walls. Mm-hmm.
Was there a history component to it, too, that you were?
Definitely. My heritage is Pennsylvania German. So the rug hooking business that I developed included probably over 150 designs based on Pennsylvania German motifs and that historical design, and also more contemporary geometrics. Mm-hmm. So that business was Ruckman Mill Farm. And I have recently sold that to a company in Vermont, Green Mountain Hooked Rugs. Mm-hmm. Transitioned from bending and dyeing wools and being on the circuit of rug hooking events to solely being an artist and advocating for the arts here in West Virginia.
Did you find a rug hooking community or a lineage when you came here?
Here in West Virginia, not immediately. I have found and done extensive research about two ladies in Gilmer County, the McDonald sisters, because there was a rug hanging in the State Museum, and according to the label, it said it was hooked. And it looks like it's hooked. And then I finally have learned that they didn't do the same technique, but ended up with a similar look. So it's fascinating in that there are rug hooking events in the state. There's two events that happen at Cedar Lakes annually, mm-hmm. and they've been happening for decades, actually. So the state is a good area for it. And there are several people who do hook in within the state, mm-hmm. Contemporaries of mine. Okay. The fun part for me is that rug hooking immediately I think a person thinks of traditional art and crafts, mm-hmm. so it says West Virginia so easily. And for me, being here in the land and the property that we have, it's extremely inspiring. Mm-hmm. So I've traveled around the world mm-hmm. with rug hooking. Wow. I've gone to Australia because I'm a rug hooker, mm-hmm. the past president of the International Guild of Rug Hooking. And it's really been a really wonderful network of people, mm-hmm. male and female.
You said there's Pennsylvania German motifs. Are there different regional styles of rug hooking? Oh,
yes, definitely. For the quick history of rug hooking, I would like to say that it's an American craft. It moved down from the Canadian Maritimes into New England and such, and it makes sense because it's wool fabric that was used because they were put on the floor and wool wears well, mm-hmm. and so that fabric was used to walk on. But if in traveling and teaching in different areas, that's one of the reasons why I like to travel with the rug hooking. You see the colors of the Southwest and the type of designs and how they're working on them. In New England, the traditions, and also in Canada, of very finer cut widths of work and working in a variety of values and shades, creating the realistic looking flowers and fruit and such. And then there's abstract work by contemporaries, or Marguerite Zorach, who was from New York City and Maine, used rug hooking as her medium and exhibited in fine art in the early 1920s.
Wow. So along with, would you consider her an influence?
Not necessarily for me. I think it validates. I think it's a nice bridge. One of the interesting problems I had when I was rug hooking originally, or initially, was to talk to interior decorators and say that I could be commissioned, if whatever their design. And I had several people say to me, "Oh, I don't do country."
Yeah.
So I hooked an abstract piece, and I said, "It's a technique. Not necessarily a style."
Yeah.
I have a particular style, but if your, you know, client has a look that they're interested in, this technique can be interpreted that way.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Alexander Calder's wife interpreted some of his work.
Oh, wow.
And Blanche Lazelle from West Virginia also had several of her pieces made into patterns, and she hooked. But in her case, most of hers were done commercially by another cottage industry.
Okay. Why do I know her name?
Blanche Lazelle's from West Virginia, from Morgantown area.
Okay.
And at the West Virginia Museum, they have a huge collection of her work.
Okay, and she was
She's woodblock, and this is her sister, her niece's work.
Okay.
So it's Grace Martin Taylor's woodblock. Mm-hmm. So she was actually a contemporary of, in the early 20s, she worked up in Provincetown a lot.
Okay.
And innovator in the white line of block prints.
Mm.
An abstract artist with not wide recognition, mm-hmm. except within the state.
Yeah.
And a really nice thick book by WVU about her.
Cool. I'll have to check that out.
But she also hooked.
Yeah, nice. Yeah, I think one of the things that I encounter all the time, and also what drew me to traditional art, is the fact that those labels aren't as strong as people think, and people are working across mm-hmm. mediums and genres, and it's kind of fluid.
Well, and one of both Blanche and Marguerite specifically used the textile mediums to be able to process in their minds a different medium that they were working on.
Mm-hmm.
And it's one of the things that they say, if you work in other techniques, the next medium that you are going to address has been influenced by them.
Right. And
it's a benefit.
Yeah.
Your work won't be stagnated. You're going to find something new by, even I was talking with someone who's learning. She's training her left hand to hook,
mm-hmm.
and she's getting sloppy. She said, "Yeah, but I laugh at myself. It's like being a beginner again."
Uh-huh.
I said to her, "Well, it'll be interesting what type of design you might work up mm-hmm. only using your left hand."
Is she doing that to give herself a
She actually had some physical problems, and she wanted to not go, everything's fine, but she doesn't want to burden her right hand as much.
Cool. And it seems like you do that too, and you know, your squares and trying these different techniques and styles and mediums.
Yeah, definitely. Even like these three pieces with the embroidery work
mm-hmm.
and straight hooking, and then incorporating trapunto, embroidery, and hooking. I just find them so satisfying because I've explored the same pattern using different techniques.
Yeah.
And you're able to look at it completely differently.
So what would you call this that's kind of like quilted or appliqué?
It's trapunto,
okay.
So it's an Italian word for stuffing,
okay.
and would be used in quilting. I've seen some beautiful quilts in the middle of the state. People mm-hmm. use Tripunto work on all white work.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
And this is definitely something that the McDonald sisters used in their tapestries.
Mm-hmm. But it's really warm, too.
It is, yeah. And then you can, as you saw, I embellished it with different embroidery work. Mm-hmm. And that was my question to myself. They looked great all by themselves. They were just beautiful. So I didn't, that's the fine line as an artist, you know, are you going to do one more
right.
technique? And what is it? When is enough? One of the artists that we represented in the gallery, he would have that quandary.
Yeah.
You know, when do you stop?
Things I see around is sailor ribbon art in West Virginia. And it looks pretty similar to, I think I have a photo on my phone. It reminds me of the McDonald sisters, and you haven't encountered that.
No. So do you think that's how they saw the
well,
is it like the looping?
Here, let me see if I can find it.
I can hear it in its description to me. It sounds like.